Welcome to Bible Strong Ministries with your host, C.M. Atkinson. We invite you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time for a message of God's love and forgiveness, a message of hope and direction, a message to enable you to live a more abundant, spirit-filled life. Join us now for today's lesson.
Welcome to Bible Strong. I am pleased that you're making Bible Strong a part of your day. I would encourage you to call someone else, a friend, a neighbor, call someone you love. Tell them that Bible Strong is on the air. Urge them to log on to our website at BibleStrong316.org. If you want to get in touch with me personally, you can at BibleStrong316@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you. I've got the second half of that gold nugget that I gave you yesterday. I'll be using Psalm 78 and verse 9. The children of God in the wilderness ask they question, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? When I read that, my mind goes back to the question that God Himself asked. He asked, is there anything too hard for me? My answer is no, sirree, Bob. Nothing is too hard for God. I would ask you, how big is God in your life? Is He a growing, increasing power in your life? Is He big enough to satisfy your soul's hunger? Is He strong enough to bear your heaviest burdens? Is He loving enough to take you and lead you through every dark valley? Is He bigger than your problems, greater than your dreams, higher than your yearnings? In the firmament of your world, does He look down on the topmost star? What does God mean to you? I would say this, God is bigger than my dreams. He is bigger than the hunger of my soul. He is bigger than the yearning for something that's out of this world. He's bigger than my longing for life everlasting. God is bigger than my heartaches, bigger than my most tragic losses, bigger than my tears, my failures, and my regrets. God is bigger than my sins. How big is God in your life? Is he big enough to save you from your sins? He is indeed. It's lesson time now. Scoot up your chair and lean in. I'm going to be speaking on the same subject that I spoke on yesterday, the Word of God. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. All Scripture, all of it. Among all of our joys, there is none that fills our hearts more than the blessed continuance of the preaching of God's sacred word among us, which is the treasure which excels all the riches of earth, because the fruit of the word extends itself not only to the time spent in this world, but directs men into that eternal happiness which is above in heaven. This book has always been subjected to the censors of ill-meaning and discontented persons. This book deserves our respect. It deserves our esteem. Yet it is welcome with suspicion instead of love, and with emulation instead of thanks. Instead of men being thankful for this precious word, they seek in themselves to write a book that would excel this in purity, that would excel this in giving us the correct way to live. If there is any place in the Bible for them to get a toehold on, they'll do it. And if there's not a loophole, they'll make one. And it's sure to be misconstrued and in danger to be condemned. But what is piety without truth? What is saving truth without the Word of God? And what is the Word of God, whereof we may be sure, without the Scriptures? We are commanded to search the Scriptures. We are commanded to search and study them. And those who do not are reproved. Those who are unskillful or slow to believe them are reproved. They can make us wise unto salvation. If we be ignorant, they will instruct us. If out of the way, they will bring us home. If out of order, they will reform us. If in heaviness and bereavement, they will comfort us. If we are dead and in our trespasses and sins, it will quicken us. And if we are cold and lethargic, it will inflame us. But there are those in this world, as I spoke of yesterday, who would try to rewrite the Holy Scriptures to meet their own worldly standards. One man asked the question, what would Christianity look like? What would Christian language sound like if we really tried to screen out the stale, the technical, the unconsciously exclusive words and policies? And if we would hear it as if for the first time, what the Christian Scriptures was saying? This is the opinion of John Henson in his version of the Bible that he calls Good as New. He changed almost everything that Christians believe. Good as new. Can you believe that? This is good as poison. If you call good as new poison, then this is what this version is. It's not even a version of the Bible. This is the fragmented mind of an evil person who does not believe in angels or the devil. When John Henson wrote Matthew's the 4th chapter, he eliminated the words devil and the words angel. In fact, he eliminated the work of the Holy Spirit. In the first verse of Matthew 4, my Bible tells me, when Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. John Henson writes this same verse in another way. John said, Jesus felt he needed to spend some time in the desert to clear his mind, which direction his life should take. He went without food for about 6 weeks. By then, he was near starvation. And then John Henson says, the thought came to him, if I am God's chosen one, all I need to do is to order these stones to become bread. Then he remembered some words from the old book. People cannot live just on bread. They need God's word as well. Then he had another idea. He saw in his mind's eye the temple in Jerusalem. Perhaps if I were to jump off the highest point in Jerusalem, I could prove that I came from God. It should work like the song. God has friends who only wait to lift you when you fall. Soft, your feet will touch the ground without a scratch at all. But then Jesus thought again of some other words from the old book. You must not push God too far. And then in verse 8 in the Bible that John Henson wrote, says this, then his mind formed another picture. This time he seems to be looking down from a very high mountain on all of the countries of the world. Jesus thought, all of this could easily be mine. All I have to do is to be cunning and gain the support of the right people. But Jesus quickly dismissed these ideas. He thought, these are the ways of evil. The old books tell us the only one we should try to please is God. And then, in verse 11, John Henson wrote in his Bible, then Jesus felt at peace. Some of God's helpers arrived to look after him. If you'll notice, in these first 11 verses, John doesn't mention the work of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't mention the truth of the devil. He doesn't mention the angels. John Henson is telling us that all of these things that we read in the King James Version about the devil and the spirit and the angels is all a figment of our imagination. He is saying that it was not the devil that tempted him. It was all in his mind. What do I say about this? Hogwash. This is poison. This will damn your soul to hell. This is just a small portion of what the rest of his book from hell would read like. I'm going to stop the lesson right here. I'm thinking this may be the last day this week that I'll speak on this subject. But friend, I will keep reminding you that there is so-called translations of the Bible, which in reality is only a man's idea of what he thinks it ought to say. Never fall for that. The devil would have you in a snare if you did. Until the next time, may the grace of God be with you. May his favor shine in your path. May the meditations of my heart and the words of my lips be pleasing unto God. We love you.
Listen each weekday at this time for Bible Strong Radio Ministry, designed to enable you to become Bible Strong with host C.M. Atkinson. Send correspondence to Bible Strong Radio Ministry, Post Office Box 16512, Bristol, Virginia 24209, or visit BibleStrong316.org.